Hello and welcome to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science on UK Health Radio with me, Michelle Hammond. It's an absolute pleasure, as always, to have your company. So wherever you're listening from in the world, welcome. You may be joining me from your kitchen table, your office, maybe you've took the dog out for a walk or you're sitting in the car, or perhaps you've curled up to enjoy a quiet moment with a cup of tea. Wherever it is, thank you for being here. Now, today I don't have a guest joining me, and I wanted to spend a little time talking about what it means to be well and exploring a simple but important question. Why is it that we seem to know more about health than ever before, yet so many of us are struggling to feel truly well? We have access, don't we, to so much information. More information than any generation before us. And we can now track everything, our sleep. We can count our steps and monitor our heart rate. We can order supplements and peptides with the click of a button. And we can access thousands of well-being experts online. And yet, the rates of stress, anxiety, loneliness, burnout, and chronic illness continue to rise at alarming rates. So, what are we missing? Over the last 30 years, I've had the privilege of working across many different areas of health and well-being. I've worked in luxury spas and wellness resorts around the world. I've curated training and educational programs to better support people living with chronic health and teaching other professionals how to better support them when they're in their care. I've worked strategically with business leaders, healthcare professionals, and even parents, teenagers, and retirees within the community. And I also run a private clinical practice integrating traditional Chinese medicine and talk therapy, as well as lead a community wellbeing magazine. And through all of these experiences, one thing has become increasingly clear: that wellbeing is never created, or rarely created, by just one thing. We're not going to find it in a supplement or in a specific treatment or a gadget or even in a diagnosis. Because well-being is created by the way we live, isn't it? It's the way we connect, the way we move, the way we even rest or think, and of course, the way we relate to ourselves and to each other. And that's what I'd like to spend some time in today's show exploring with you. So if that's okay with you, settle in. Perhaps take the invitation and opportunity to take a few slow breaths. And let's begin. I often think one of the greatest paradoxes of modern life is that we have never been more connected. And yet we feel so disconnected. We can speak instantly with people on the other side of the world. In fact, some of you may very well be listening to me from other parts of the world. We can access endless information and scroll through thousands of images and videos and opinions every single day. Yet many people tell me they feel so isolated. They feel disconnected from themselves, from others, from nature, from a deeper sense of purpose. And perhaps most importantly, disconnected from the simple rhythms that once shaped human life. For most of human history, we seemingly lived more in alignment with natural cycles, didn't we? We rose with daylight, we moved frequently, we spent more time outdoors. We belonged to communities. We knew our neighbours. We shared more stories and meals. And we even shared the challenges and the highs and the lows. I mean, life was far from perfect. But many of the things we now understand to be essential for well-being were just more naturally woven into daily life. Yet today, many of those things require really conscious effort, don't they? In fact, most of us have to schedule in movement, schedule our social connection and our time in nature, even our rest. And even then, many of us struggle to protect them. And the result is a nervous system that is often running on empty. It's running on constantly full speed. A mind that rarely switches off, and a body that receives mixed signals from the moment we wake up until the moment we fall asleep. And this is where I believe both ancient wisdom and modern science have something incredibly valuable to teach us. Because although they use different language, they actually often point us towards remarkably similar truths. In traditional Chinese medicine, a system that has evolved over thousands of years, health is not viewed as the absence of disease. It's viewed as harmony, as balance and flow. It's finding homeostasis. And it's that smooth movement of energy, of blood, of fluids, of emotions and function throughout the body. Where with modern science, we may not use the same language, but increasingly we are discovering that many of our biological systems also thrive on balance. The nervous system, the immune system, the hormonal systems, the cardiovascular systems, and of course our circadian rhythms and the microbiome, none perform well under chronic imbalance. And yet imbalance has become normalized. Many of us are functioning in a state of permanent stress. You may be sat there nodding along. We're surviving rather than thriving. And the body, as some may very well say, keeps the score. And the fascinating thing is that some of the most powerful well-being interventions available to us remain surprisingly simple, because although technology has advanced, actually, our basic human needs haven't. Movement, sleep, connection, purpose, nature, touch, breath. These things that cost very little, if anything, but can profoundly influence our health. Hold that thought. You're listening to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, on UK Health Radio. Stay with us because after the break, we're going to explore what modern research is revealing about the foundations of lasting well-being and why some of the oldest well-being practices are becoming more relevant than ever.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, right here on UK Health Radio. Today we're exploring what creates genuine well-being. And one of the things that fascinates me most is how frequently modern science validates practices that traditional cultures have understood for centuries. Take sleep, perhaps the most powerful well-being tool available to every one of us. For thousands of years, people intuitively lived according to natural light and darkness. Today, we understand the extraordinary complexity of circadian biology. We know sleep influences immune function, hormone production, memory, emotional regulation, cardiovascular health, and that big buzzword, longevity. Yet many people wear sleep deprivation almost as a badge of honour. And the same can be said for movement, can't it? The human body was designed to move, not just during a gym session, but throughout the day. Walking and stretching, squatting and reaching, carrying, even breathing deeply. Our ancestors didn't exercise. They lived actively. And modern science now confirms what traditional systems observed through experience, that movement is medicine. And then, of course, there is nature. research consistently demonstrates the benefits of us spending time outdoors. For all of us that lived through COVID, you will know how invaluable that time became. And you'll have felt it. It lowers stress hormones. It improves mood, enhances immune function. It makes our concentration and focus better and gives us a greater feeling of well-being. Yet many of us spend the majority of our lives now indoors. And perhaps one of the most overlooked aspects of well-being is connection. Humans are social beings. Who was it who said, "No man is an island"? We need meaningful relationships, not perfect relationships, but meaningful ones. The evidence around loneliness is now so profound. In fact, some researchers suggest chronic loneliness can be as damaging to health as smoking multiple cigarettes every day. And just think about that for a moment. Because connection isn't a luxury, it's a biological necessity. And maybe that explains why some of our happiest memories often involve other people. Shared experiences, shared laughter, shared stories, a sense of belonging. These are not soft concepts. They are fundamental well-being factors. Which brings me to something I've become increasingly passionate about, community. Because community creates opportunities for all of these things to happen. Connection, learning, movement, support, belonging. And perhaps most importantly, hope. Let's explore that a little more after a second break. You're listening to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, on UK Health Radio. And after the break, we'll share some of the biggest lessons I've learned from 30 years working in health and well-being, and why I still believe the future of health lies as much in connection as it ever will in technology.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science with me, Michelle Hammond, on UK Health Radio. Over the years, I've worked with thousands of people. People facing illness, navigating grief, rebuilding confidence, dealing with anxiety, searching for purpose, and many people who are simply trying to feel more like themselves again. And if there's one lesson that stands above all others, it's that most people do not need fixing. None of us are broken, but often what we do need is support, understanding, space, encouragement, and connection. And sometimes just simply someone to listen. I've seen extraordinary transformations occur, not because somebody found a miracle solution, definitely not in a pot or a bottle, but because they made a series of small, consistent changes to their lives. They slept a little better. They moved a little more. They spent more time outside or reconnected with people they deeply care about. They learned how to calm and soothe their nervous systems. Or they tapped into some form of purpose again, unleashed some creative urge, or they started paying attention to what their body was trying to tell them. But it was always small changes that made the biggest impact. This belief in community, in connection, in accessible well-being is one of the reasons I became passionate about community projects. It's one of the reasons I've spent years supporting education, professional development, and community well-being initiatives. And it's one of the reasons I'd love to share a little more about something I'm currently working on right now. Now, I know talking about this may not be directly relevant to every listener, because some of you are joining me from elsewhere in the UK, or many of you from other parts of the world. But I hope the idea behind it does resonate and feel relevant. Because ultimately, this isn't really about my community wellbeing festival. It's about opportunity and possibility. You see, a couple of years ago, I found myself asking a simple question. What would happen if wellbeing was democratized, simpler, and easier to access? What would happen if we brought together everything we know helps people thrive and placed it right at the heart of a community? Not something hidden away, not reserved for people already invested or interested, not available only to those who can afford it or with deep pockets, but visible, welcoming, inclusive, and accessible for everyone. Well, that question became the Wallingford Wellbeing Festival. It's an ambitious community project built around what I call the 8 pillars of well-being. Because when most people think about well-being, they think about exercise and healthy eating and maybe even sleep. And whilst those things absolutely matter, they're of course only part of the story. Because we have our mental and emotional well-being, we have that sense of connection and belonging we've talked about, and purpose and meaning in our work. Of course, we have our relationship with money and our financial well-being. I always say the best yoga moves or the best mantra in the world is not going to make you feel well if you're worried at night of how to feed your family or keep your roof over your head. Our connection with nature and the environment, creativity and spiritual well-being, the simple joy of feeling part of something bigger than ourselves. And the reality is that well-being is interconnected. All of these pillars matter. So when one pillar is struggling, the others will feel it too. And so the vision for the festival is to create a space where people can playfully come together and experience all of those dimensions of well-being in a very practical, meaningful, immersive, and engaging way. We'll have lots of talks and workshops, treatment demonstrations and tasters, movement classes and activations, creative workshops, nature experiences, community conversations, simple opportunities to learn, to connect and explore. Not because anyone needs fixing, but because all of us occasionally need reminding of what helps us feel well and to be given an invitation to tap in to some more joy. And this year, something rather exciting has happened. The brilliant team behind Bunkfest, which for those that don't know, is one of the UK's largest family-free music festivals. It has just won a King's Award for volunteer service. If you don't know about Bunkfest, do check it out. It is incredible, and they bring together around 25,000 people over a weekend around our community. And they've offered us an opportunity to bring a micro version of the Wellbeing Festival to their event this September 4th to 6th. So rather than waiting another year for an independent festival, we've suddenly had the chance to create a wellbeing experience within this event, one of Oxfordshire's best loved community festivals. Well, actually, one of the country's best loved community festivals. And with that came a bold idea. Could we create 1,000 free wellbeing experiences over a single weekend? 1,000 opportunities for someone to discover something that could genuinely support their health and wellbeing, that could make them feel seen and heard, held and supported. Maybe it's a teenager attending a resilience workshop, or a parent learning a simple tapping or breathing technique. Maybe it's a retiree joining in a Tai Chi or Qigong class. Or maybe it's someone living with chronic pain discovering a new complementary therapy or technical approach. It might just be an invitation for families to spend quality time together, or for a conversation to spark a new friendship, or a moment that reminds somebody that they are not alone. Now, like all good ideas, of course, it needs infrastructure and support. And I've been blown away by the generosity of people already rallying around it. Some of our local businesses and practitioners, community groups, brands, volunteers, people basically asking, how can I help? Count me in. And we've already received some incredible raffle prizes to help kickstart some of our fundraising efforts. We've had spa days and wellness treatments, Pilates sessions, coaching, skincare collections, gosh, facials, fitness experiences, jewellery, woodland walks, wellbeing packages, photography sessions, dinners and lunches donated by some incredibly generous businesses and practitioners locally and regionally, and actually some national too. We've actually even had a hyperbaric oxygen experience gifted. These are the kind of prizes people generally want to win because they don't just sit on a shelf, do they? They create experiences and opportunities within themselves, and those help create feelings and, of course, memories. So if you're listening and thinking, I love the sound of that and I'd love to support that, then firstly, thank you. And secondly, let me tell you how you can, because perhaps that might be as simple as buying one of our raffle tickets before we draw our first live draw on June the 30th. It might mean getting in touch and donating a prize for that raffle. It's a dynamic raffle, so that means we're adding prizes to the prize list all of the time, up until that draw. Perhaps it means introducing me to a sponsor, a partner, or an organisation who you believe shares a passion for community well-being and would be a great fit and would want to be involved. Maybe you want to get involved in donating and financially supporting yourself, and you're in a position to do so, to give back, to pay it forward. And perhaps you're simply in a position where you could share the story, share the website, share the links, and help us get the message out further. And if you are listening from somewhere completely different, perhaps the invitation is slightly different, and that you might be able to think about something like this where you live. What conversations could you start? What opportunities could you create? What might become possible if well-being became everybody's business rather than somebody else's responsibility? Because I generally believe healthier communities are built one conversation, one connection, and one experience at a time. And perhaps that's where the future of well-being really lies. So as I begin to draw today's shorter show to a close, I'd like to leave you with some simple thoughts for your own well-being and invite you to remember that you do not need to transform your life overnight. You don't need the perfect morning routine or the most expensive equipment, and you do not need to do everything that people are telling you to keep yourself well. You simply begin somewhere. Take a walk, call a friend, spend time outside, put your phone down for an hour, or give yourself an opportunity to center and take a breath. Notice how you feel and reconnect with something that matters. Because well-being is rarely found in dramatic moments. More often it's found in the small things we do consistently, the things that bring us back to ourselves. And perhaps that's where ancient wisdom and modern science meet, because they both remind us that health is not simply about living longer. It's about living healthier and more well, with more joy. And if today's conversation has resonated with you and you'd like to learn more about my work, you can find me at Teapot, tpot.org.uk. That's tpot.org.uk, where we provide training, education and professional development for health, well-being, spa and therapy professionals. You can also learn more about my private practice, where I integrate traditional acupuncture and talk therapy to support a wide range of physical, emotional and well-being challenges. And of course, the talk therapy is available both online and in person. And you can reach me at michellehammond.co.uk. And if you'd like to find out more about the Wallingford Wellbeing Festival, support our fundraising efforts, donate, sponsor, volunteer, buy a raffle ticket, or simply share the vision, please do jump on over and visit wallingfordwellbeingfestival.co.uk. That's Wallingford, Wallingford, wallingfordwellbeingfestival.co.uk. And navigate on the menu to @Bunkfest, and all the information for the micro festival will be there. Every raffle ticket purchased, every donation made, and every conversation shared helps us move one step closer to delivering 1,000 free wellbeing experiences in the community this autumn, which will be awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Michelle Hammond on Ancient Wisdom, Modern Science, right here on UK Health Radio. And until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.